Welcome to One Moment Wiser. I'm your host, Christy Bridges, and my guests share personal stories and wisdom to help you understand yourself better, improve your relationships, and connect with your creator. Let's get started.
That's why I wrote this book. Because yes. When I went to lunch with my Christian friend and I'm telling her all these things, and I really trusted her. I will say I do kind of have a trust issue, you know, and it comes from so many.
I can understand based on some of the stories I read here.
Lord, you know, I trust the Lord. But she told me, she said, you have to write it. Mm-hmm. She said, and it's not going to be your book. It's going to be God's book. You know, she said, but you have to write it. So I kept thinking about it. And I've heard different ministers say, and I'm not going to give their names, but you know, if God has laid it on your heart to write a book, you better write that book.
That's right.
He's going to question about it. You know, when you get to heaven, why didn't you write that book?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want him to question me on that. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you know?
That's right. So, that's literally why I do what I do. I invite people to take part in my devotional books, or, you know, I have a whole course to write your own devotional book. That's got like from start to finish, the planning, the promotion, the publishing, the writing, and it's prayer led the whole way through. And it's because it's such a, everybody goes, oh, I have these stories. You know, God does these amazing things in our normal lives. And everybody goes, oh yeah, I should write a book someday. And you're like, there's no someday. Somebody right now is starving to hear this story in your voice about how God has worked, because they need that encouragement. It doesn't matter how many times we've read stories about what God has done. We need that encouragement of, you know, more of that. We have to be continually washed.
Right.
In the Bible says washed in the water of the word, right? But in reality, the word is still living. We are still breathing and telling the word of God through our own experiences of what he has done.
And it's up to us to get it out there. I was, you know, I'm going to write the book. And I got a hold of different publishing companies. And they were going to charge me like $5,000 just to start to write the book. Well, I talked to a friend of mine that I've had for a long time. Her name is Ruth in the Panhandle. And she said, Marianne, she said, because she belongs to a book writing club. And she said, if they're going to charge you up front, she said, they're not legit. So I remembered my friend Paula, who I also worked with at Summit, you know, and she's on my Facebook page. And she had written and published books of her own. And I thought, well, how does she do that? Yeah. So I got in touch with her. And she's got a book writing company and other little things that she does. And it's called mountainmovingpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, told her about my book. And she said, well, send me the first couple chapters, you know, let me take a look. So I did. So I didn't hear from her for a little while. And I, you know, got back. I said, I don't want to bother you now, you know, but I really am impressed to write this. And I need someone to help me publish it. Well, with her company, you know, you don't pay up front. She gets it on the back end. So she does all the work. You know, she's brilliant. She's creative. She's artistic. She used to do the floats at Christmas time.
Oh, nice.
Remember we had floats?
Yep.
Yeah. So I knew that about her. So she did. I wrote the book, but she did the graphics. She did the cover. And when she asked me about the cover, I explained to her what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And darn if she didn't send me exactly what I had thought. The colors were a little different, so I asked her to change the colors up. But, I mean, for me, it was perfect.
Yes.
And so, okay, everything's fallen into place. You know, and it wasn't hard, wasn't difficult. I sat down and wrote the book in 4 months.
Wow, that's great.
And because I already had the chapters, you know what I mean? I already knew.
You had been telling these stories for years. So you knew, sometimes we kind of have an idea of what happened, but it takes a while to formulate it. And you had that down because you told me some of these things, although I learned a whole lot more. It was pretty interesting.
Well, I'm glad I helped. So, but getting back to how to minister to someone who's lost a child.
Yeah.
Okay? it's I mean, to me, there's nothing worse. A parent kind of right up there with it, you know. But so I've met different women over the years, you know, mm-hmm. that have either lost a child, gave a child for adoption, but they're missing. They're missing that child in their lives, mm-hmm. you know. And I just tell them what the Lord has told me. She or he is with God. And they're being taken care of. Whether they're still alive on this earth or not, they're being taken care of. So when you pray, get yourself to the point where you can pray and say, Lord, I know that you're taking care of the situation. If you want to give me other children, well, thank you very much. You know, he gave me four. I have four living children. I have 11 grandchildren, and I have 14 great-grandchildren, and another great-grandchild, yeah, due in July.
Wow.
He has more than replenished
your stock, right?
not the one child that can take the place of another, no. because they can't, you know. Right. And my little girl was born April 6th, and I can tell you there's some years that I can go by April 6th and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. There's other years when it hits me, the grief yeah. hits me, and I'm also very sensitive to people dying, to people, you know, because I feel their grief.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that they're grieving. And Kenneth Copeland wrote a meditational book, and 365 days a year. And so the first year I read it, I immediately went to April 6th. I wanted to see what he wrote on April 6th. He said, first sentence, the scripture, do not grieve. And he talks about how he lost his mother and how he just could not stop grieving. And so the whole meditation was like that. You know, don't give it to God. Let God heal your hurting heart. But was that not the Holy Spirit?
And this,
of all the,
this is why people's stories matter. Because God knows who's going to pick that up and where things need to be placed to just reach mm-hmm. right in. Oh my goodness, can you imagine? I mean, you still could have felt the love of God without that, but how special.
Special, exactly. It's just special. And every time one of the babies is born, I'm not going to lie to you, you know, I do get anxious.
Oh yeah.
The mothers are in labor, and when they're, you know, I do, and I just want to stay in the waiting room.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be in the room. I don't want to be, you know, and I pray. And good. I just pray. You know, I nearly lost one of my grandsons. He's now in the army. He's married. He has five kids, and he does
wow.
very, okay. very well in the army. He's just a good-looking kid. I mean, good-looking.
Of course.
But he was born practically dead. And I was in the delivery room for, I'm not going to go into all the circumstances, but I was there. Mm-hmm. And they had to resuscitate him. They had to do a code blue. But his father, who had been in the delivery room with the first child, came mm-hmm. out of the waiting room to get me specifically to go in to be with my daughter. When I love my daughter, yeah. but she can get a little cranky when she's
So I'm going to say probably every woman ever.
Well, you know what, though? My mother told me, she threatened me. She said, you're having a baby? She said, I don't want to hear a peep out of you. You are what? Not to holler. You're not to holler.
Oh my God.
You're not to scream, you know. She said, and guess what? I didn't. I would bite my tongue. I would grip my teeth. Whatever I needed to do. I'd grown a little bit. But. Yeah. So anyway, so I go in her room where she's at, and she was having a hard time, and the baby's heart rate would drop. So those days they gave you a little suit to put on to go into the delivery room. But when he asked me to go, it was just such a pleading in his voice. Mm-hmm. And he had just gone to church, and he had gone up the aisle for salvation. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm telling him, oh no, buddy, you get back in that delivery room with your wife. The Lord spoke to me and said, he is saved. He has the mind of Christ. If he's asking you to go in that delivery room with with his wife, there's a reason. All right, Lord. So that's what I did, because I was not interested in that whatsoever. And so anyway, so I get jump in my little suit, come out, she's gone, the bed's gone. So I walked in the hallway and I heard a scream. You know, so I went towards the sound of the scream. So when I walked in, I came into the bottom of her bed, and they were waiting for the baby to come out. And I'm like, it was like watching a movie, you know? I mean, yeah. What am I doing here? So all of a sudden, little baby comes out, and he is dark. I mean, blue, black, with a cord wrapped around his neck. And I was just about ready to scream out, somebody do something quick. And the midwives were there, because the doctor didn't even have a chance to get back to the hospital. So they looked at each other and they said, so the one grabbed hemostat and she went to, you know, get the cord off the baby's neck while he still lay there, not breathing, nothing changed. So then the other nurse said, should we do a code? And they did. So people came in that room from all over the place, you know, and they grabbed the baby and they began to work on him to resuscitate him. He broke his collarbone because, of course, he was so little, but that was the least of, you know, helping the child. Yeah. So I'm standing there next to my daughter's bed. They had just given her some Demerol, and she looked at me and she said, Mom, is the baby okay? Mm-hmm. I looked down at her.
What do you say to that?
And with every ounce of faith that I had, I said, yes, the baby's okay. And so then when I could see that the baby still wasn't okay, I began to pray.
Yeah.
In tongues, screaming at the devil.
Yeah.
You will not do this to me again in the name of Jesus. You go, you spirit of death. And I mean, I was loud.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, the little nurse came over and she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, the baby's breathing. Now, how long he went without any air, I don't know.
Yeah.
Any air. But they brought him, they brought him back. And he's an amazing kid. I mean, he's quiet.
Five kids and a career later, I guess he's breathing okay. Praise God.
Rather introverted.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he is, he's in his 30s. And again, he is a model military man.
Awesome.
With five beautiful, beautiful children. Imagine, can you imagine if the devil had taken him out like that?
I know, right?
So anyway, I just, you know, I just encourage people.
Yes.
Get that intimacy with God.
Yes.
Get to the point where you know without a shadow of a doubt that if something bad is happening or going to happen, he will let you know.
Yeah.
And he'll get you through it. Whatever way he has to get you through it, he'll get you through it.
And sometimes,
you know, and of course it takes faith.
Yeah. Sometimes we lose the, you know, people, but he doesn't. He's always got them. And other times he's letting us know so that lives can be saved. I love that. That's beautiful. Now you.
Yeah. And faith comes by hearing, Christy, you know that.
Right.
Hearing the word.
And we, we don't have a weapon in our arsenal if we're not in the word, knowing what God has to say about things, knowing the kinds of things God has done and his character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some things that, you know, when you read the Bible, you're like, Lord, this doesn't sound like you, right? So help me understand where your character is. Help me understand, you know, where the mind of this person who wrote this was, you know, help me to see the whole picture you want me to see here. But yeah, I mean, that's where we get the weapons.
And it takes discipline, Christy.
It does.
You know, it takes discipline. Get in that word every day. I don't care if it's just a scripture or two. Get in that word every day. Discipline yourself, because this world is just temporary.
And apply it to your life. That's the whole purpose of One Moment Wiser, is just a couple minutes to something you can apply right now from scripture. Now, you actually, had how many kids? Five kids? Four.
I have four living.
Four living. And then all these grandbabies and great grandbabies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes me think, right? Well, it makes me think there are some things in life that if we knew in advance that we would have to go through heartbreak, we wouldn't do them, right? And you had to go through some heartbreak. I'm about to, in fact, next month, oh, Marianne, next month, the Surviving Divorce at 3 a.m. group study for churches is coming out. I'm so excited. But most people, if they knew when they said, I do, that they would end up divorced and going through this kind of heartache, they wouldn't have done it. But you went through that, and not only once, but twice. And yet, I don't imagine knowing you, you know, the whole time I've known you, you've been single, and knowing you, I don't imagine there's a moment now when you would go, nope, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just stayed single and never had all these kids, right? Do you feel like it was worth the loss in order to get what you have gained?
Yes, I wouldn't send any of them back.
You know? Right, send them back.
But I will tell you, you know, as a little Catholic girl, the desire in my heart was always to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And I was going to be a nun. I was going to be a nun
nurse.
I was going to Africa because we had different missionary nuns came back over from Africa, and they always had these white gowns on. They just look like angels, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, I'm going to do that, you know. And so adults would say to me, because I tell them this is what I want to do, and they say to me, well, don't you want to get married and have children? I go, oh no, because I can have all these African children.
True.
Why, you know, I don't. It, to me, was a foreign idea, foreign concept, you know. But of course, I went as a teenager, and I like boys, you know. And the story about me getting married so young to my first husband, I actually married him twice. Aww. We were divorced after, let's see, we married in 67. We got divorced in 72 or so, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. And but he was naughty. You know, and he even admitted, if he were alive, he has died, but you know, he's admitted over the years to people that he was naughty, and yeah. So, but I was just talking to my daughter this morning about this. It was in the cards for me to marry him twice because I did not want to. He begged me and pleaded with me. We were divorced for 7 months. And I mean, this guy was at my doorstep constantly to call me on the phone, whatever. So I just felt bullied kind of, you know, into being with him. And I didn't want that. I didn't like that feeling.
Yeah.
So I went to church, went to a little Catholic church that was down the street from where I worked in Fort Lauderdale. And I spent my lunch hour just crying and pleading with God and saying, oh God, please, I don't want to do this. I know I'm Catholic and I'm supposed to be married and only married one time, but you know, he's just such a rascal. I don't want to do this. And there was an older gentleman that, I don't know if it was a janitor. I don't know. Maybe it was an angel. I don't know. Never saw him before. Never saw him since. But he was trying to comfort me, you know, and he was telling me that, you know, that to listen to God, to do what I think God would have me to do. And I thought, oh, well, in my Catholic mind, God does not want me to, you know, I should remarry this guy. So I did.
Yeah.
And my daughter said to me, she said, oh, Mom, she said, but you really think that was God? And I said, yeah, I do.
Really?
Because he promised me, my husband promised me, that he would behave himself and he would, you know, wouldn't do this, wouldn't do that. By just taking back, oh, my life would be better. His blah, blah, blah.
Right.
He wanted me to do this because his children. Well, Tommy only had two children, the two girls. And I said, so I did what God told me to do.
Yeah.
But your father did not do what God told him to do. Obviously, you know, and I said, so he was disobedient, but I was not. I did what God told me to do. And I said, and as a result, he worked for the railroad. He retired from the railroad.
Yeah.
And we had been married 10 years and 7 months, both marriages, and both marriages counted. Because of that, I now receive his railroad retirement annuity.
Beautiful. Well, then, hey, God knew how to take care of you long after this guy wasn't going to be around.
Yes, because
well, thank you,
because
Lord, for taking care of
it. It's more money
us.
Than my Social Security.
Yeah.
You know, now, I hate to get materialistic on you, but, you know, but
God knows what we need and he provides.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So with that and with the retirement that I get from Summit, I mean, I'm not rolling in dough, you know, but I take care of myself. I'm able to take care of myself. And I believe God knew that all. Did he want me to go through more torment and abuse from my husband? No. And he told my husband not to do that, obviously, or my husband wouldn't have been, you know, because my husband was very extroverted. We were opposites.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, because he didn't do his part, didn't mean that I didn't do my part. I did my part.
And, you know, God blesses us when we do our part, even if the other person doesn't live up to their side of things.
Right.
God never, ever fails. Mm-hmm. He always. He actually prepared you for your second divorce, which I won't give away the whole story, but that is something that probably my favorite part of this book, because you talked about you were in a church service and God started speaking to you, and this was before your second divorce happened, but it ended up blessing you for years. I mean, shifting the course of your life. And in it, you quote from Isaiah 54, where he says, do not be afraid. You will not be disgraced. You'll forget the shame. And in the Bible, it says you'll forget the shame of your widowhood. But to me, that applies to so many areas, you know, that shame of failure and rejection and aloneness. Right. And so it's so cool. Like you said, even if the other person doesn't live up to their part, and that doesn't mean we don't always have part of, you know, we can be part of the problem. Right. I definitely have learned that. But God always shows up. It always fulfills his side of things if we obey.
And he had told me years before that, when I went through the first divorce, I was driving up I-95 of all places to have God speak to you. It was all that miserable traffic they have sometimes. But my son, my oldest son, was only 6 months old at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had gone to a ladies' prayer meeting, and the daughter-in-law, the pastor, during the prayer meeting, she came up and she put her hands on my head, you know, and she began to speak in tongues and pray over me. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing I could think of was I had so much hairspray in my hair. I was afraid when she tried to take her hands off my hair that her hands were going to stick to my hair or going to pull my... Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Seriously.
No, I remember those days.
You know? But as I'm driving up 95, I was overcome, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was crying, and I went to open up my mouth to say something, and here comes these just a little bit of tongues. You know, it was Sokolio Lokolio. That's what my first tongues were. Mm-hmm. And God said to me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Mm-hmm. And so I found through the years that as I had to do really hard things, by myself, without a husband, without anyone, you know, I always felt that presence. I could always feel his presence. He always went with me, like a spouse would, like a good spouse. And so that when I turned 50, right when I started working at Summit, you know, I just thought, you know what? Jesus has been so good to me, and he's such a good spouse. I'm just going to stop loving.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do this. Me
Wonderful.
And Jesus, you know, and that's how it's been. Truly. Even to this day, he takes care of me, and I depend on him. And I find the closer I am to going to be with the Lord, and I am, you know, let's face it. I'd like to live to be 120, you know, but then I get my insurance, policy money, face value. But supposing I don't, you know, mm-hmm. and supposing he comes before I have a natural death, it doesn't matter to me, you know, yeah. because I know that he is the one that, now, not that people don't do things for us.
Right.
Not that God doesn't use people to bless us, because he does. Right. All the time, you know. I'm amazed that my children and my grandchildren, when they see me coming, don't go, oh, God, here comes my. But I learned a long time ago, too, you know, the older we get, we have to be careful of that
yeah.
because we are getting older. And does our opinion even matter to the youngers? You know, so sometimes we have to sit back and wait until they ask mm-hmm. what yeah. we think or how we think. You know, they were
because our goal is to teach them to think for themselves. Right. And well, if we're constantly disrupting that process, they don't get to try that. And sometimes they're just not ready for everything that we have because they aren't,
right.
they can't relate to it yet. Yeah. I right. am. Right. Oh, go ahead.
There were a couple of them that were really leery about the yeah. book. You know, they were like, really, Nana, you know, you wrote a book, but the ones so that have good. Read it have been blessed and yeah. they like it, you know, and they've been encouraged by it. Some of them don't read books very often.
This one's an easy read. I mean, you just kind of stick with it and keep turning the pages, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, and I just yeah. want to...
Even the print is large.
True, and it's well-spaced, so she did a good job.
Yeah.
I just want to mm-hmm. say one thing, and, yeah. you know, we need to close it out, but you talked about not, you know, kind of waiting until people are ready to share the things that God has taught you, and out of all the hours and hours and hours of conversations we have, there's one thing that sticks with me. All those years ago, we talked about some childhood experiences that I had that God had taken me through a forgiveness process, but you know, there was still some pain there because, you know, some of the childhood traumas we have alter the path of our lives. And then I had gone through this divorce and I was with somebody who was, you know, dealing with bipolar. And I mean, there was just a lot at that time, but you took me back and you said, go back to that child that's inside of you, that's hurting, that is, you know, mm-hmm. gone through this experience and been helpless and been abused. And you say to that child, you know, you were young then, right? You were helpless, but I am here now and I won't let you go through that. You know, I would protect you. And you actually helped me shift from actually kind of a mindset of victim to a mindset of protector. Mm-hmm. And just that one little thing helped me to make a transition from victim to protector, and from it started me. I can't say that it finished this journey because it took years and years, but it started me recognizing that I was important mm-hmm. enough to protect. Not, you know, I wasn't designed just to help everybody else, but I was important enough
right.
to take care of. And I just so appreciate that. And I just want to thank you for that.
Well, you can thank Miles Monroe for that. Do you know who Miles Monroe is?
I do. I like him.
Well, he's gone. He's gone to be yep. with the Lord. You know, he and his family, some of his family members, wife and I think a daughter or son, whatever, were killed in a plane crash. They're traveling in the Bahamas, going from one island to another.
Yeah.
But I went to a church service in Fort Lauderdale, Plantation, actually.
Yeah.
And he was preaching that night. A friend of mine from Jamaica had asked me to go with her. And it was a big church, huge church, but he was the one that preached that sermon. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, he would go from one end of the stage to the other.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I was, but this is where I am now. And where I am now wouldn't be over here.
Right.
And where I am now as an adult looking at this child over here, I would never allow that child to be that hurt.
Right.
You know, I would stick up for myself. Yeah. I'd beat somebody up if I had to, whatever I had to do to get out of that situation. That's where that came from. And that stuck with me. And it still sticks with me. I have done that representation of Miles Monroe. I can't even tell you how many times, you know?
Yeah.
And some people get it and some people don't.
Oh, it is definitely a mind changer, a shifter. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. So well, where can people get this?
Yes, I Dance with Jesus.
And so we can get this on Amazon, or is there a better place that we should?
No, Amazon has an exclusive for $12.99. Uh-huh. However, nice. I'm going to be signing some book signing on the 13th.
Yeah.
At Mary's Bagel Cafe in Lakeland, Florida, from 9 until 1.
Oh, I wish I could go.
And so when people come, the book will be at a discount. Special discount, and I'll have what they call swag bags.
Really?
A bag full of some goodies. Yeah. So it'd be like the first 20. I've got 24 books that I've ordered ahead of time.
And so really, they want your autograph. They need to come out.
They need to come out. And like if they're in Lakeland or anywhere, you know, they can ask me questions and they can talk to me. I'll pray with them. You know, whatever the Lord wants me to do. And sometimes I go overboard, you know, but I'm excited about it. And it's something new for me.
Mm-hmm.
Paula's going to be there with me.
Wonderful.
And it's going to be fun. We're going to have balloons and confetti inside the swag bags. And we'll have some candy in them for one thing. And we're going to have a speaker with flashing lights and music. You know, and it's just going to be a fun time. And the lady that owns the restaurant is a friend of my oldest daughter. And so she said, Mom, why don't you, you know, call Denise, give her a call and see if she'll. And I never thought in a million years, she, you know, but she was like, yes, right away.
Well,
come to find out, but she must do this more often because there's going to be another book signing by another lady a day ahead of mine.
Oh, well.
So, okay. You know, so Lover hopefully bring her some business.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
And thank you, Paula Kay, for putting the information in the chat for us. So Mary's Bagel Cafe, Lakeland, Florida, 9 to 12, January 13th. Oh, if you are anywhere near there, go give Marianne a hug for me. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. If you are listening and you want prayer, I tell you what. There is nothing better than when we come together and we go to God's throne and we say, hey, my friend has an issue that needs resolved. Take care of this, please, Dad. God is so good and he wants to take care of us. So if you have anything that you need prayer for, just send me a note right there on Facebook or YouTube, or you can email me. But it's One Moment Wiser, the number one, Moment Wiser, and email me at info@onemomentwiser.com if you have a prayer request or if you just have a story that you'd like to share. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and join me for 2-minute daily devotionals Monday through Friday at onemomentwiser.com. That's the digit 1momentwiser.com or on social media at onemomentwiser. If you have a story you'd like to share, I would love to hear it. Just use the contact page at onemomentwiser.com. God bless you.